How y'all today? So, today we are going to have the AMA series. You know what is AMA series? Not the MMA, AMA. It's called the Ask Me Anything. Yeah. So before we start, let me see, on my left, is there anyone who is new? I think we have a gentleman behind. Yeah. So tell us your name and how you got to know this group.
good afternoon. My name is Anthony.
Yes.
I got to know this group through the, my friend. Yesterday we went to the event for the liberation.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So he told me about you have teaching class, so just come along to that.
Very good. Welcome. Yeah. So saw them yesterday. Came for the Life Liberation, and then in the afternoon they sent me to the Buddhist Fellowship for a talk, and then here we are. Very good. So on my right, maybe you could tell us your name. And then, how you got to know about this group?
My name is Hui San. My friend recommended me here, so I just came around.
I see. And your friend is not here?
No, because I asked him which one around is the teaching is just like simple and maybe just people to join it, just like that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good. Welcome. Hui San.
Hui San.
Welcome. So, welcome to SGC, where we have short chanting, short meditation, and maybe not so short, but not so long, Dharma sharing. Today's topic is Ask Me Anything, Misconceptions About Buddhism. But feel free to ask me anything as well, not just about misconceptions about Buddhism. So who would like to start first? Okay.
Okay. So, for you, today you're in the Life Liberation, we were reading the Gui Yi. So, that part, there's one part that says that, Yang Zhu Zun and Zhong Zhong Zun. So, I'm not very sure. What's the meaning of that?
Oh, is there a misconception?
No.
Yeah. So, that is part of the recitation in the Buddhist tradition. For administering refuge. So it's a set of verses. Gui Fo, Gui Fa, Gui Sheng. Yeah, so it starts off with this opening verse, which is basically taking refuge in the Buddha, in the Dharma, and in the Sangha. Together, these three in Buddhism is known as the Triple Gem. Yeah, or the three refuges. The triple gem serve as the three refuges. So Buddha, do we know what we mean by Buddha? You all know? You all know? Oh, very good. What is Buddha? What do we mean by Buddha? Huh? Buddha means photo. What we mean by photo Buddha? Where's the bus stop in front of the building? Where's the building behind the bus stop? So when we say we take refuge in the Buddha, the Buddha refers to, firstly, we can say the historical Buddha. So in the past, when I read some books, it would highlight this. Yeah, referring to the historical Buddha. But there's a reason why, why call Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha. Yeah, he's known as the historical Buddha because within the present known history of mankind, there was this person, yeah, who was known as Siddhartha, Prince Siddhartha, and then he left the palace, practiced in various ways under different teachers and so on, and ultimately discovered the path, a path of cultivation on his own, attained to what we call enlightenment, become awakened, yeah, and thereby known as the awakened one, a Buddha, yeah. So he's known as the historical Buddha because historically he is the one who is known to have done it first. So, but if in this world he's the only one, then we don't have to say historical Buddha. Yeah. So in the Buddhist teaching, we say that there are Buddhas before him. Yeah. But historically, he's the one that we know of. There would be future Buddhas also. Yeah. But they have not arisen yet. Mm. So when we say we take refuge in the Buddha, we take refuge in him first and foremost. Yeah. But even more importantly, then there's a second meaning, which is that anyone who is awakened, yeah, because the word Buddha basically means an awakened one. So we take refuge in the Buddha in these two ways. Yeah, firstly, in the historical Buddha, and then secondly, in anyone who has reached this state. Then secondly, we take refuge in the Buddha, then his teaching. Yeah, because when we say we take refuge in the Buddha, it means to take refuge in him as our teacher. Yeah. And if you take someone as your teacher, then of course his teaching, yeah, becomes what he teach becomes your a guide for you. Yeah. It'd be funny if you go to a school and then you say that this is your teacher. Yeah, but you don't attend the class. Yeah. You'll say that this so-and-so is your teacher, but you don't know what this person teach. Mm. So taking refuge in the Dharma is an extension of the first refuge. Yeah. Meaning that in whatever that the Buddha has taught, yeah, we take refuge in. But in that sense, then, minimally is to know what the Buddha has taught. Yeah. Then after that would be taking refuge in the Sangha. Yeah. And again, Sangha refers not just to one particular teacher or Sifu, but to all Mahasangha, including those who are enlightened. Yeah. So that would include lay person who are enlightened as well. So then the next verse, so that's the first opening verse of taking refuge. Then after that, Gui Fo Liang Zhu Zhun, Gui Fa Li Yu Zhun, Gui Sheng Zhong Zhong Zhun. Yeah. In a way, this is then going on to the qualities of the Triple Gem. Yeah. So, Gui Fo Liang Zhu Zhun. So there are two areas, yeah, where he is Yuan Man Ju Zhu, yeah, which is we usually say Bei Gen, 那个Bei Gen Zi, yeah, Bei Zi, Bei Zi, yeah. We sometimes also say Fu Hui, Fu Hui. We in Buddhism we often say Fu Hui Yao Shuang Xiu, Fu Hui Yao Shuang Xiu, yeah. So merits, yeah, in terms of the merits and also in terms of the wisdom, the Buddha is complete, perfect. There are some beings in this world who is, one could say identical, or we could say look identical, and that's the wheel turning monarch, yeah, have very similar, it is very similar in terms of merit, yeah, very very great merit, but lacking in wisdom. Then we have, we can say arahants. Arahants, we can say that at a certain level, equal in wisdom, at a certain level, but in terms of merit, lacking towards the Buddha. Whereas the Buddha is perfect in these two areas. Gui Fu Liang Zhu Zhun. So we take refuge in this aspect of the Buddha, that he is perfect in his practice, not imbalanced, balance in both areas, in his practice. In particular, in the perhaps Chinese Mahayana tradition, there's a lot of emphasis on this. Fu Hui Yao Shuang Xiu. Do you all practice that? Do you all practice Fu Hui Shuang Xiu? So, how to Xiu Fu? Do you all know how to Xiu Fu? Don't know how to Xiu Fu? Don't know how to cultivate merit?
What's that in English?
How to cultivate merits. So first thing first, when we come and attend Dharma class, try not to sit there and close your eyes. Quack. Because do you know that there are quite a few suttas that describe individuals who go to listen to Dharma talk and then just fall asleep there? Very bad karma. I'm serious. There are karmic consequences. Even if you don't consider the future life, in this very life, you are actually cultivating this habit. Sit down, close your eyes, sleep. And it's not just quite a few of you. A few, even young, she's not so young anymore. But she looked quite young. The hair quite steady on. But one thing I quite admire about Quack, her whole week. Which are the days you attend Dharma classes?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
5 days a week, no? Although she's retired, she's gainfully retired. Sometimes I look around, I wonder, how many people after retirement will do this? A lot of people, before they retire, they say, Sufu, I'm very busy. I have a lot of things. When I retire, I see. Wait until you retire, you see whether you can compare quite or not. So when we, it is just like, if you go for a movie, would you go inside, close your eyes? I mean, some people do that lah. But you are wasting your money, ma. Correct or not? Would you go to a tour and then refuse to get off the bus and choose to just sit in the bus and sleep all the way? That may be the case. Maybe some. Then got one cave here, one cave there. You travel all the way there, then just come out to look at a small cave. Then that after the number 8 cave, so circular. But other than that, don't make it a habit. Sit down, close your eyes. Don't. Open your eyes. You don't look at Sifu, look at the Buddha. Look at the Buddha. Why? Because because once you close your eyes, easy for your thoughts to be unclear. Not so easy to maintain clarity. Not so easy. I mean, from my angle, I can see everybody clearly. Some students, the moment they sit, they close their eyes, and they sit down there. Then when Sifu give talk, then they nod. Mm. You know, like, mm, not bad, yes. I agree. I don't care lah. I don't care whether you agree or not. The truth is the truth. You agree or not, it's still the truth. Yeah, but even more importantly, you sit down there, then you close your eyes. See, I'm saying this, no? Some of you still closing your eyes. Really, I want to throw the glass at you. I mean, it's a really very bad attitude, no? Bad habit. Let me ask you all, how many of you remotely feel tired? No, it's okay. I'm sure a lot of people feel tired, isn't it? You know? Yeah, but if the moment you feel tired, then you close your eyes. You are just giving in to your fatigue. Do you think every week, every lesson when Sifu attend, not attend talk, give talks, do you think I'm not tired? Yeah. I tell the volunteers, do you know how many times when I give talks, I'm actually having backache, headache, and whatever ache? Yeah. If I, you know, that's why sometimes I look at students, come and attend class, close your eyes, want to sleep, lie here, lie there, like that. Yeah, do you think sometimes, yeah, there are times where I'm actually having very severe backache. I still sit up. Can I once someday like that? Like that, give talks? Yeah, it's about respect for the Dharma. Yeah. And if you cannot even have the minimal modicum respect for the Dharma, how can you expect to learn anything? Cannot. Yeah. So even the present day karma, you're blocking yourself. And when the moment you do this, it's planting a seed. You don't want to gain in wisdom. Yeah. You don't want to gain in wisdom. So when we recite all those verses, whether it's the Kui Yi Fo, Kui Yi Fa, and so on, or when we recite the Heart Sutra, we recite the different verses. Yeah, take it seriously. Yeah, take it seriously. I'm not into chanting one, you know. I tell people very openly, I'm not into chanting. But when I need to chant, I chant loudly, I chant properly. Yeah. Otherwise, like, if I'm not required, I don't chant. Yeah, I'm very honest with you. Yeah. Yeah. Because chanting, it's not that I don't like chanting, no. And it's not that I think chanting is useless. Chanting is a very powerful practice, I tell you. But it is suitable for people whose faith has not been established yet. Yeah. When you do chanting, it can very quickly instill faith in you. It's a devotional practice. So if you are at a stage where your devotion, your faith is not strong yet, you do chanting regularly. Yeah. And you cannot chant like that. Namo Bansi Si. Like half-hearted like that. Like want to chant, don't want to chant like that. You must really chant out. Namo. Wow. Then you can feel. Wow. Chong. Yeah. But at some point, then you connect stronger with something else, like the Dharma itself. Yeah. So, Kui Fo Liang Zhu Zun, Kui Fa Li Yu Zun. So, the Dharma has the ability, has this quality to help us to be free of all desires. Yeah. That is free of desires. When we think about desire, we usually think about just about worldly kind of like, well, very carnal kind of desire. But in the teachings, desire can be for the sensual pleasure, it can be desire for concentration as well. You know that? Even concentration, yeah? But of course, we don't say that the two desires is the same. Of course, it's different, yeah. But especially for the higher states of desire, when you have tasted some quietude, some bliss in concentration, then it's even easier to get stuck. Even easier to get stuck. Yeah. We call that in the in the Chinese text, they call it 爱味. Yeah, 爱味. Yeah, or sometimes they use the word 爱药. Yeah, actually it's 爱乐. Yeah, but my teacher always read as 爱药, 爱药. Yeah, 会有起爱药心. So basically, craving and delight. Yeah, craving and delight. Craving and delight for what? Concentration in the jhana. For us, initially when we meditate, wow, leg pain, back pain, ache pain, want to sleep, cannot keep your eyes open, cannot keep your eyes closed, want to open your eyes. Yeah. Human beings are very strange. You ask them to meditate, they want. You ask them to meditate, they want to open their eyes. You ask them to listen to talk, they want to close their eyes. Yeah. We human beings are. But one day, when you sit long enough, when you sit regularly enough, then you find that your mind starts to quieten, become free of the entanglements of the five cords of sensual pleasure. Mm. Then at that point in time, your mind conduces towards this state. Yeah, away from the stimulations. Then it's easier to enter the quiet state than to get out. Mm. And the more you enter, the more you want to stay there and you don't want to get up. Mm. So compared to the earlier state, yeah, the agitated sensual pleasure, this is more refined and this is superior. So in this direction, the practice is okay. But moving forward, then the Buddhist practitioner must go and reflect on the faults and danger of even jhana. You must reflect on the faults and danger of first jhana. Then you can go to the second jhana. Reflect on the faults and danger of the second jhana, the superiority of the third jhana, of how it's more sublime, more refined, and more even quieter. Then with that, you practice, and then you go to third jhana. And so on, up to when you're able to enter even fourth jhana. Then even the very sublime, quiet state of equanimity is to be reflected on as having faults and danger. Mm. Yeah. And in contrast, enlightenment, nibbana, is most supreme. Of course, if we follow the classical teaching, then this is where you stop. In the Mahayana Bodhisattva path, then we say, even this, you have to reflect. Oh, this one, in some countries, were 引起共分. In the Bodhisattva path, then you reflect on how Nibbana itself, Nibbana itself and samsara, the two, do some reflection on this. Yeah. Reflect on the faults and danger of Nibbana. Oh, this one scary. Scary to think about. Wow, Sifu, how can you say this? But in the Bodhisattva path, the Mahayana teachings, this is part of it. But you must know, this part of the practice is only applicable to those who are able to enter Parinibbana already. It is just like my nephew, now in Sec 1, very brilliant kid in HCI. Yeah. So imagine when he was in Primary 1, then his mommy will tell him, you must work hard. You must prepare for PSLE. P1 must prepare. No. Maybe P5 lah or P4. Yeah. But now that he has cleared his PSLE, what if Ryan, get addicted to PSLE? Don't want to go to Sec 1. Still want to stay at P6. Yeah. Secretly, actually never go to school. Yeah. And secretly go back to Mahabodhi. Secretly go to talk to the principal. Principal, can I apply for special permission to come back for class? Hey, why are you coming back? I thought you got very good grades. You are one of the top Huh? And then you managed to go to Hua Chong, right? Why are you here? But principal, you don't understand. The Miss Elin Quek, right? Yeah. You don't understand. I really enjoy being in Mahabodhi. I want to stay in Mahabodhi. If the principal is a good principal, the principal will tell you, no. Mahabodhi is good. P6 is good. But it's just a phase. You're not supposed to stay here. So only for those who have cleared PSLE, then the principal will say that. But if now, imagine if Ryan at P5 say, teacher, a principal, I want to leave Mahabodhi. But you haven't cleared PSLE. Where do you want to go? No, I just don't want to be in Mahabodhi anymore. Then is that a problem? That's the problem. Mm. So the Mahana teaching sometimes seen out of context seem very strange. Yeah. But it is within that context. For those who are already past the worldly attachments, those who have cultivated to a certain point, then the great bodhisattvas, also not for the unenlightened bodhisattvas who say this, we are not there yet. For the great bodhisattvas, with their wisdom and skillful means, to sort of give a pointer to those who are on the first, second, third, or even the fourth fruit. Then to highlight to them, hey, you have great potential, why do you want to stay here? So the third one, Gui Seng Zhong Zhong Zun. So the Mahasangha, in its totality with just now I mentioned already actually. When we refer to the triple gem, my teacher actually make a very important exclusion here. He said that Sangha itself refers to mainly monastics. But when we say Sengbao, the assembly that is considered a gem, the way he put it is, then it basically refers to the enlightened Sangha, Aryan Sangha. In a way, I think he has a point, because the Buddha did refer to Aryan Sangha. But in many places, when the Buddha referred to Sangha, he didn't quite make that distinction. Even while the Sangha consists of those who are enlightened and those who are halfway there and those who just started, the Buddha referred to the Sangha as a whole. He don't have distinction like, fall in, those who are arahan, sit here, then Sakadagami sit here, the Anagami sit here, then and so on, Sotapanna sit here, he don't do that. Or those new monk, not enlightened one, sit here. Buddha, I ordained for 30-40 years, how? Then, but you are not enlightened, sit there. you sit behind, you're not enlightened, you sit behind. No, the Buddha never makes such a distinction. In fact, the order that we sit is according to the number of years we ordain, not according to how enlightened we are. So we can refer to the third one in that we take refuge in the Sangha in its totality. Where the Sangha as a whole is an example for us. But of course, when we say example, sometimes we may say, hey, but Sifu, not sometimes I see you sitting meditation, you're so tuku. Then how can you be my example? don't look at the time when I tuku la. I'm sure there are sometimes I sit very good ma. You know, I always tell people, like, you know, when we see the Buddha image, right? You always see the Buddha image in a perfect state. You know, like that. Yeah? Or like this, or like that. Yeah? I always tell the volunteers, did the Buddha eat? Yes, the Buddha eat, ma. So when the Buddha ate, did the Buddha have to open the mouth to eat? Have, ma. Have, right? Then how come they don't carve the Buddha eating? Right? Yeah, because this is not inspiring of faith. Yeah. Right? Then did us... Okay, I don't know whether the Buddha sneezed or not. Yeah, don't seem to have any account of the Buddha sneezing. Yeah, so the Sangha in its totality. Yeah. From those who are newly ordained to those who start to practice, to those who, from the novices to the fully ordained monk and nuns and so on, yeah, to those who have perfected, who are complete in their precepts, to those who, even those who practice the precepts, but sometimes we may have this kind of thoughts, how about those who are not so perfect in their precepts, or maybe not so perfect in their teachings, or maybe not so perfect in their concentration. How about those? Yeah. How about all this? So when we look at the descriptions by the Buddha, you find that the Buddha actually include all of them. Yeah. So in this totality, we take refuge in them. Yeah. They serve as an example for our practice. Yeah. They also serve as a guide to guide us on how we can practice. How come one question? Hey, you all ask more questions. So they're supposed to be, I will answer, short answer. Yes. Okay, answer. Okay.
So a lot of time when we ask a lot of people, right, they say they are Buddhist, then upon asking them more, actually they say they pray to Goddess of Mercy.
Uh-huh.
Then also, this is one of the misconceptions. The other thing is also, there's a lot of, what about trans person, you know, is part of Buddhism?
Okay.
Especially a lot of people, a lot of deities, like they go in trance, especially Goddess of Mercy. Is it part of
So the first question, that there are people who say that they are Buddhist, and then they say that they pray to Goddess of Mercy. Mercy.
Yeah, especially the one at Waterloo Street. Everybody prays.
When we say Goddess of Mercy, this is based on the earlier translation, yeah, or the Englishification. Yeah. Yeah, the earlier texts, sometimes they write down Goddess of Mercy. Yeah. But it actually refers to Guan Shi Yin Pusa. But why Goddess of Mercy? This has perhaps more to do with the translator than the belief itself or the practice itself. So at least there's one part that is correct, which is the mercy part. But now we know that the word mercy may not be a very good translation also. It's more correct to say the loving kindness and compassion. The compassion, the great compassionate one. Yeah. But maybe 100 years later, people may feel that compassion is not an accurate word as well. Yeah, because words, the meaning of words keep on changing, you know. Yeah. So then the question is, does that make them Buddhist? Maybe you can consider this. How about those who pray to the Buddha? Buddha ma, Buddha is very clearly Buddhist ma, right? How about those that have Buddha image at home? Yeah, maybe they also chant Namo Bansu Sujja Muni Fo, or they chant Iti Piso. Yeah, or they chant Om Mani Padme Hum. does that then make them a Buddhist? Yeah, so if we go by the strict definition of what a Buddhist is, then the person must have taken refuge. Yeah. In other words, the person have at some point accepted the Buddha as the teacher. Yeah, taken the Buddha as a teacher. Yeah. Otherwise, then it's more of a folk belief. Yeah, folk religion, folk belief. But in Buddhism in Singapore, we don't go and enforce the strict definition. What is more important is not that we do this, but why we do this. Yeah. We don't enforce such a strict definition, yeah, in part out of compassion. Yeah. Why out of compassion? Why is that compassion? So, I tell people this. Many years back in the Heart Sutra class, I tell them this. You know, my grandma is indirectly responsible for me being a monk. She never talked to me about Buddhism, actually. But because of her decision, all the whole family go to the temple. Amma kyo lang ke, lang dong lang kai ke. Amma say go temple, everybody go temple. Very simple. Yeah, in those days, no explanation. Why ha? Piak le, gao yu gong. Meng ane zui. In fact, we never even get to ask that question. Who dare to ask? Who in the right frame of mind? Even if you get drunk, you don't dare to ask. So you end up going. So I asked student, if we go by the strict definition, she's not really a Buddhist or in some ways. In some ways, she is. For example, I mean, to be fair to my ama, I mean, she's passed away so many years. I never know whether what Buddhism is, Four Noble Truths. Like, can you imagine? Ama, they are Four Noble Truths. Yeah, you know, most of the ama last time just jiazhe, and maybe liang hut. I only remember that when she goes to the temple, she's sitting in one of the front row, wearing the black color hai qing. Does she wear the man yi? No, she never wear. Yeah, so my impression is this. So imagine if our late master, Wu Feng Zhanglao, imagine if he put down his hand and say, strict. Then if he demands, Niang Long Zhong Bo O Hood, Si Seng Di Bei Yao, Si Seng Di, Bei Yao, Bei Yao, Lim Si Hu Gao Dao, Chut. Then you know what will happen? If that old master enforce it, then my Buddhist, maybe go to Tope Kong Biu. Then today is Chuan Guan Dao Shi. Yeah, but maybe if she go to Tope Kong Biu, then Tope Kong Biu also strict enforcement. Do you know what is San Qing Gong or not? You know what is Tai San Lao Jin or not? Do you read? Do you know or not? Don't know. Then how? Then maybe she go to church. Then today, in the end, you have Father Rob, Father Smith, Father Lim. Yeah. Then it'll be like, okay, very happy to have all of you. Yeah, today we will turn to some. Today we look at Matthew. So out of compassion. Not that, we are trying to get more people in. No, but it's out of compassion. Yeah. One very good example. Don't know whether this is sensitive. Imagine if in school, the school system, like from P1 to P2, right? What is required for you to go from P1 to P2? What is the requirement? Minimally, what is the requirement? You see, he don't even know whether there's a requirement. Why? Because he's above the requirement. So he never know. Yeah? Of course there's a requirement. La. Then you go there, just ha 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 ha. Then,
Last time my teacher said if you can read ABCD, then you can promote.
Your time lah, not his time lah. His time. You know, P1 already, P plug already, no? Yeah. Yeah, my time also sama. My time, I remember I do plasticine, you know. Yeah, sometimes the whole period people studying, then my teacher say, okay, you go there and then make the toy zoo. Yeah. I remember there was like, I think at least several weeks or months. Every day I go to class, that particular class, I don't do anything. I just go to the side. You know, last time there's a cupboard at the side, right? Then I was responsible. My duty in class was to make the toy zoo, plasticine zoo. Yeah, now that I think about it, how come I don't have to attend class? Somehow I still clear. Yeah, so I suspect I'm one of those hyper one. No? So teacher bo pian, you go and do that. Right? You know, then I can get to go to P2 or. Can go to P3, P4, then somehow go to secondary school, somehow go to 10 points, then somehow go to NTU, then somehow still can come out. Yeah. So very similar, no? If now instead, okay, in primary school, starting from primary school, if you don't get 100%, you cannot go to P2, then jialat lo. Then next time, Ryan, next time your kid, next time, entering P1, right? Then you bring your kid over. Then you look at her. Hey, bring your kid. Then that guy say, no, I'm coming for class. Why? Because never clear P1. Because if you set the bar too high, nobody can clear one. I mean, even for you, did you get full marks in P1? You didn't know so what? Correct or not? So that's why in Buddhism, we don't set the bar so high. Yeah. Can you want to set? Can. Set so high. You don't understand everything, cannot be say that you are Buddhist. Then okay, lor, nobody Buddhist. Oh. Then this year, 1.6 million Buddhists, next year, zero. Everybody fail. give people a chance. Yeah, this is the Buddhist attitude. Yeah. As long as they come in, even people who come in and just eat chow bee hoon, don't want to learn. Yeah, it's true. I heard so many of the senior monks have this kind of mindset. They drink, I heard from Zhang Hui Fasi. He said, it was said that when he was in Australia, then they have the service, right, the chanting. Then after that, there's always cha bi hun ma. Yeah, temple, Chinese temple always have cha bi hun. That's default one. You have maybe at least some food. Then there are some local Australians, like the workers, they will come and then they look see. Then they come and eat, no? Never go and do chanting. They're not even Buddhist, what, probably. But Zhang Hui Fasi, eat, then eventually start to learn Dharma. We are all at different stages. 50步笑百步, 半斤八两, 都在这条路上. Yeah. So, as far as those who profess to be Buddhist, if you dare to say that you're Buddhist, okay, you'll be Buddhist. Then the second part, how about those medium? Yeah, tangki lah, basically. Not tauki, tangki. In Buddhism, we don't say that it's possible. We don't say that it's impossible to have medium. But we say that if it's Guan Xin Pu Sa don't need a medium to appear. Don't need. Yeah. But to me, it's just like, you know, iPhone, there are those companies who want to make a look-alike iPhone because it's very popular. Like now, is there some crappy phone, like Panasonic, for example? Long time ago there is, yeah? Siemens last time also had phone. But you see, nobody ever go and duplicate a Siemens phone. Because not so popular. So why are there so many Guan Xin Pu Sa out there? Because popular. So people san zai ban Guan Xin Pu Sa. Yeah.
But Sifu, actually you say that Bodhisattva appear in many forms.
Yeah.
So this type of medium, could it be, is it a form of...
Could it be a form of Guan Xin Pu Sa?
Yeah.
I don't say that it cannot be. but to simply say that it could be, so it must be, that's a stretch. We can say that it could be, but we need to verify. Yeah, it's just like, now, if someone come to you and say, hey, I sell this iPhone, and then tell you that $500, would you say, oh, okay, I buy. You will double check, hey, you sure not, this one iPhone. Apple logo, iPhone, okay, turn on. Looks like iPhone, double check. And even if it's real, then you have to ask yourself, why do I want to buy from you off the street? So if with something as simple as a phone, we go through such a stringent test, how can we be less stringent when it comes to Guan Xin Pu Sa?
Buddhist tradition now, we don't have
one.
It's not in the text anywhere.
There's no such a thing. But fortunately, those that is the Tiao Tang Guan Xin Pu Sa one, never tell people to go and do funny things lah. Usually, to me, it's kind of like ghostwriter, you know. Yeah, you know, like. There are a lot of books out there that says that, oh, it's written by Tom Clancy, written by this person, that person. But I'm not saying Tom Clancy, for the records, I'm not saying, I don't know that many writers are. But there are a lot of writers, they use ghost writers. That means it's actually written by somebody else, but labeled as that person. And of course, in today's world, those are officially known, as in the person commissioned them to write. Yeah. But last time, some people, when they have some ideas, they write down a manuscript, but they are unknown. And because they are unknown, if they write down Tan A Kao, yeah, or they put down, wow, they have this marvelous idea, and they put Venerable Chuan Guan, then people see, they read the title, wow, quite interesting title. Then they see Venerable Chuan Guan, who is this man? Maybe they don't even open the book. But if you have a nice title, then you put the Dalai Lama. Oh. Wow, this one must see. And this is how a lot of writers in the past give up their name so that their ideas can live on. I like to think that in a similar way, maybe some of the Tiao Tang is like that. Now, bear in mind, if you ask me, I've heard, I don't know how true, but I've heard from some people who know insider one, they say that they knowingly tell me that there are some, it's actually gay one, but there are some is really, there's really something that enter them. So let's look at the one that is really something entering them. The one gay one, don't have to talk about. So the real one, I like to think that so far, I never heard of any mediums that tell people, to solve your problem, you must go and rob the bank. Huh? Never lah. Yeah. There may be those who go and rob a bank and then give the excuse to say that, oh, they heard a medium tell them to rob the bank. That one can be possible. But actually, no medium so far ever tell people to go and rob the bank. So to me, it is possible that maybe the spirit, the spirit that is being conjured, that is being tranced, is trying to do good also. But if they appear and say, I am so and so, then the person who go to the temple, but I want to hear advice from Guan Xin Pusa ma. Then who are you? Oh, I'm Tang A Kao spirit. Tang A Kao spirit, then not Guan Xin Pusa. No. I have to be frank with you. That day I attend Venerable Chan Kuan's talk, I have to be frank. Then do you think people will listen? Even if it's the best advice, you won't listen. No? So, opopiano, okay lah, Guan Xin Pusa, Guan Xin Pusa. Yeah. But this is my own take. Important thing is the advice given. This is one thing that is quite interesting. I've heard a lot of anecdotes about how, for example, recently a student told me, the son, stomach upset problem, this and that, go for specialist, this and that, nobody can fix the problem. Go to one of these medium, your son is allergic to brown rice. Cannot eat brown rice. So, how? So the mother, who is my student, okay lor, try lor. Stop eating brown rice. Within a few days, all problems stop. Better than specialist or never do CAT scan, CT scan, whatever scan or never scan or. Yeah. This is just one example. Now, having said this, I'm going on record. Having said this, it is like, for example, if your phone hang, phone got problem, you ask one phone specialist, the person can solve it for you. But there's no guarantee that solving your phone problem will liberate you from suffering. You can be relieved temporarily of this suffering. But doesn't mean that you will not get upset over the phone anymore, you know. Other problems, you can get upset again. Yeah. Maybe when your phone hangs, you only have this problem. After your phone is okay, then you sync all the messages, then you see some messages, you get even more upset. So, while in Buddhism we don't simply deny every other thing, yeah. But we say we don't take refuge in that. Yeah. Why? Because without wisdom, then whether this problem is solved or that problem is solved, your mind is still not necessarily at peace. Only temporary relief. Sorry, just now I answered the first question. I took too long. Yeah. Any other questions? Last question. Yes.
Let me share something.
About donkey one.
Maybe quite tough.
Oh, what, you walk in front some more. Okay.
Well, I think easier for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. Because today I attend a talk at the fellowship. Talking about enjoyment and joy. So we should not indulge in enjoyment. So there is amongst these two extremes, also not to be practiced by one who has gone far from the household life. There is addiction to indulgence of sense pleasure.
Sensual pleasure.
Sensual pleasure. That means see, hear,
yes.
Smell,
taste, touch.
I got problem.
Oh, you got problem.
I like to see spring flower, summer hill, winter snow. I like to smell rose. Mm. I like to hear chirping of the bird, flowing of the water. I like to touch the nature. So
that wrong?
What is wrong?
Doing all this. Because it's really, I enjoy it. But it's Mother Nature will give to us.
Mother Nature give to us.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we should not, should we not actually enjoy all these things that Mother Nature give to us?
Ah, good. Good question. Come, sit down. So that my neck. Already sometimes I got stiff neck.
No, it's okay. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So I often tell students, in Buddhism, we seldom see you cannot. You seldom see this word. Like just now when we recite. Huh? Symbolize it. Like we seldom see, like just now when we recite, Panatipata Viramane Sikapadam Samadhiyami, the first precept, to undertake, to abstain from killing. If you literally translate, there's the implicit I, undertaking this training rule to abstain from killing. It's not so much the Buddha saying, you should not kill. You cannot kill. Sometimes I joke with students, why cannot kill? You can kill. In fact, between you and me, I'm even more capable of killing. I was trained in Taekwondo. Then they're like, huh? Can? I say, can as in ability, but do I want to? It is not that Buddhists cannot kill, is that we choose not to kill. It is not that you can or cannot look at beautiful things, delight in lovely sound. You can. But the question is, what do you want? If what you want is to enjoy the momentary, temporal, short-lived, visual, audio, olfactory senses, and then after that get caught up in the cycle, if this is what you want, then can, why not cannot? The context of that sutta is towards the monks, and by definition the bhikshus, the monks, are those who have made the commitment or make the decision in the long term. The long term direction is to strive towards enlightenment. So for someone who want to do that, then you may not want to be doing, delighting in the sights, sound, smell, taste, touch. It is just like, consider this. Now we are in Geylang. To go to Changi Airport, we can go from this place and then go down the road and enter into PIE, which direction? PIE, then go towards the east. Or you can go down Sims Avenue all the way. For those who want to go to Changi Airport, this is the direction you should go. For those who want to go to Jurong, also go into PIE, but in the opposite direction. For some, that will answer the question. For others, they may like to hear me more. For others, they may feel kalau. Three examples is enough. Do you understand?
No.
Okay, good. I was hoping you would say no, then I can say more. It's not so much that you cannot delight in the autumn blossom, the spring blossom and autumn leaf and so on and so forth. It is that unenlightened beings, when we see this, the tendency is we would delight in it, and with that delight become stuck with it. And so for those who don't want to be stuck, then of course you shouldn't be spending time to nurture and encourage that. So not so much that you cannot or you should not, but the first question to ask is, where do you want to go? Yeah. What do you want to achieve, or what is your, what do you want to arrive at the end of the day?
So probably just pass.
Yeah,
just move on.
So, so there's also this notion that, or rather, I used to have this notion, thinking that cultivation means don't see, don't hear, don't smell, don't taste, don't touch. Yeah. Or even if you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, you are oblivious of what you have seen, heard, smelled, tasted, and touched. Yeah. I used to unconsciously think this way. Yeah. And it seems quite okay, ma, because those who are very picky about food usually are very attached about what they tasted, right? So those who are not so picky about food seems to be more cultivated, ma. I used to think in that way. But then later on, as I learned more Dharma, I realized that cultivation is not simply, but it's not even about that. Yeah, it's those who actually do more practice, it doesn't mean that they don't know what they tasted. It is that they know it very clearly, what they really tasted. Not just in terms of that momentary taste that is usually exaggerated in the mind and then collates with a lot of memories and emotions together, but they really taste it as it really is. That they see clearly that this food has a collection of different tastes arising at different times and then subsiding sequentially. And once the taste is over, there's really no taste. But many times we allow the taste to linger on and we hold on to the taste. And after holding on to the taste, we post the taste, the picture of the taste online, and then we talk about the taste. Yeah, and then we discuss about the taste. How's the food, nice or not? Yeah, we continue to let the taste fester in our mind. Cultivators are aware of the taste also. But because they stop spinning stories about the taste, they know the taste as it is. Mm. So if you were to drive past and you see color as color, yeah, no problem. Mm. At a certain level, of course, again, P1, 50 points also pass, 60 points also pass, 100 points also pass. Depend on how pass you want to pass. So at one level, we can say that if you pass by and you see the beautiful flowers, and you appreciate that there are beautiful flowers, and you don't stop the car and then take pictures, you don't stop the car, take pictures, and then pluck out the flowers. You don't do that. And that's not bad. Because there are people who will do that. Stop by then. Hey, this one quite nice. Then take. But then for some, then there's a next level. That they don't even see the... They see that... They don't see that there is flowers also. They see that there's only colors.
No form.
No form, no conceptual fabrication on what is seen. Then there are those who go further. They see the colors, but they don't see the name of the colors. Then there are those who go even beyond that. They see that there are colors, they see that the names are given, they see that with certain patterns of the colors, then there are names given to describe this as flowers. And so they see everything as they are. But they also see that all these are conditional and fabricated. And so seeing that way, they do see that there is that brilliance and everything, but no real flower to begin with.
Huh? people don't associate. I read it that way. They don't associate.
They are not attached to that association. Yeah. At a later stage, they also know that there is such an association, but they are not attached to that association. Mm. So depend on which past grade you want.
So it's not wrong.
In a sense. Of course, there are those who are happy to just stop by the car and then plug, 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 plug. Yeah. Mm.
Thank you.
Okay. So if there are no further questions, then every month we will probably have AMA. Yeah. So this is the first session. So I think I hope you all have gotten the opportunity to ask your questions. For future ones, if you all have a certain theme or topic in mind, you all can also send me a PM or just post into the chat group. Yeah. Then after that, once it's finalized, yeah, everyone who come for the AMA can maybe, you know, sometimes maybe your friends or your colleagues or your family members, maybe they have questions but they are shy. Yeah. Then you can help to collate and put together. Yeah. Then you can ask. Okay. Put our palms together. 愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧真明了，普愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道。阿弥陀佛。